The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
When it comes to the genealogy of Jesus Christ, of course, it's very important because this was one of the many credentials that you had to have in the Jewish community before they would accept you to be the Messiah. You had to have certain credentials. And one of those credentials is that you had to be related to King David.
Hi there, and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who's been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he has traveled the entire continental United States preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience in the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Hello, everyone. And today we're going to begin our third in a series of a dozen or so topics concerning the birth of Jesus Christ, or I call it the Christmas series. This is number 3, entitled The Messiah's Genealogy. And we're recording on a foggy fall day here in Midtown Sacramento, California, at my home studio. Today is Tuesday, the 7th of December in the year of our Lord, 2021. And last week, last time, I'm rapidly going through these to get them all done by Christmas. We had talked about the Old Testament prophecies, so if you haven't checked out that one, please do. Now, let's go ahead and give a little bit of an overview. First of all, I'd like to say that over the years, the genealogies concerning the birth of Christ, I have studied at length to a degree where I feel comfortable teaching on it. I don't pretend to have it down pat by any means. In fact, I'm going to expect you to be good Bible students, and as I am, and research it yourself. There's lots of stuff out there. There's some, John MacArthur's one source that you could look at. Over the years, he's preached on this. There's others as well, and they bring out a lot of different things that probably I'm not going to be able to get to, but I want to give you just the highlights. Most people feel that, reading through the genealogies, especially in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis or Chronicles, it can be very tedious. And you ask yourself, why is this even in here? What does this have to do with me? Well, there's a reason why there's things in the Bible, even though we don't maybe appreciate them or understand them all. But when it comes to the genealogy of Jesus Christ, of course, it's very important because this was one of the many credentials that you had to have in the Jewish community before they would accept you to be the Messiah. You had to have certain credentials. And one of those credentials is that you had to be related to King David. And going back in the Old Testament, there was a lot of scriptures. And again, I'm going to let you research that because I'm talking, I think, to the most part, mature Christians. They already have established, and it's a well-known fact, that the Messiah was going to be a descendant of King David. And so that was one of the things that would be under scrutiny if you were a potential candidate to say you were the Messiah, or people thought you might be, whatever it was. You had to have those certain credentials, and one of them was being related to King David. Now, Jesus, of course, was related, and he was related by both parents, but it's a little tricky because Mary, of course, his natural mother, born of a virgin, through her, he was not related biologically to Joseph. Joseph was the husband of Mary. Joseph was the father of Jesus' adopted father. And there'd been some that actually had given a comparison of that aspect, and we as believers are adopted into God's family. And they did a correlation. It was a beautiful piece. I wish I would have remembered where I found it, because it was just wonderful how they went through it and how we are adopted. And Jesus, in his earthly ministry or his earthly existence, born a man, God became a man, He had an earthly father, but not a biological father in Joseph. He was born of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at both of these. But I would say in an overview, and of course you can see my notes here. Now this messianic genealogy chart, I don't expect you to read it. It just has a list I basically put up there for a visual effect to enhance the fact that we're going through this as a number three video series here. But an overview, Matthew starts off in his gospel beginning in the first 17 verses, and he covers Joseph's line through Solomon to David, focusing on the proof that Jesus of Nazareth being the Messiah, he is the rightful heir of the kingly throne. This is the main point in Matthew's account, as he does not include a complete version but skips some of the generations. Matthew starts with Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, since Joseph was not the natural father of Jesus, but Jesus being adopted and having the legal right to the throne. Now, let's point out a few interesting things in Matthew, in his gospel account of the genealogy account. Matthew focuses on the Messiah's relationship to two people, Abraham and David. Abraham and David were well accepted by the Jewish nation, by the people, as being basically very important people. Abraham, the father not only of the Jewish nation, but he's the father of many nations. King David, of course, he wasn't the first king in Israel, but he was the first king in Israel that had God's overall approval. He was called one after God's own heart. And from that time on, he would have someone sit on David's throne. And so David was a very important part in this whole thing as well. Another thing, sort of a side note here in the genealogy, not so much about the birth of Christ, but four women are included in this genealogy. Now, this is unlike the Old Testament. They didn't include women in a lot of these things. And so for four women that Matthew includes, it's very significant. It puts them in a high place. But they're mentioned. Now, it was basically a little bit of a scandal, some of these gals, and we're going to go through that. The next thing on my bullet point there, Jeconiah is mentioned, and this was a curse on David's line here. Now, when we get to next time, in session four, talking about the virgin birth, we'll cover this in detail, that there was a curse. Now, Joseph is mentioned again as the husband of Mary. He's not the biological father of Jesus. Now, Matthew's list could be verified by temple records. And with the temple being destroyed in 70 AD, no one could prove today that they are the Messiah, not being able to be traced back to David, because those records are gone. But hallelujah, there's no need, because Messiah has come, God's great design. That's just wonderful. Okay, let's move on a little bit here, and let's take a look at this genealogy. Now, I'm not going to read it all the way through. We're just going to cover the highlights. But again, Matthew, he traces Joseph's line to King David through Solomon. Now, in the day of Jesus on the earth, the Pharisees who hated him, and they were always trying to trap Jesus in his words, they were always trying to figure out a way to, you know, discredit him, whatever it took. They couldn't get anything on him, and ultimately they crucified him for no good reason. Well, they could have went to the temple and dug up records and could have went to him and said, hey, look, you know, this is wrong. You can't be the Messiah, you know, because of this. But they couldn't. Everything was legit. And what I mean by that is Joseph being the, you know, adopted, the legal guardian, if you will, of Jesus. Jesus had a right to that throne even though he was not born physically through Joseph. Well, anyway, let's look at some of the highlights there. I emboldened the word Abraham. And this is where Matthew says, Abraham begot Isaac, and then he starts with Abraham. The first verse, he says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He was called the son of David in a messianic title. A lot of the times he was called the son of David. So that's where Matthew starts. Now, these blue highlighted in italics, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, the wife of Uriah. To a certain degree, these women were scandalous. In other words, Jesus had skeletons in his closet. And to come into the world, into this humanity, he had to have come through people, sinful people. Although he was virgin born and he was not tainted with sin because God had conceived him by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was still born and to this world and through sinful people. So his ancestors were, you know, they were just normal people, but a lot of them were problematic. Let's just take Tamar real quick. If you go back and read the story about her, she was the daughter-in-law of Judah initially. And she had married one of his sons. The son had died. So the tradition was she was going to marry the next son in line. And he died. And then she, you know, Judah didn't want her marrying any of the other sons. And figured that she was some sort of black widow or something. Well, as it turned out, she conceived this plan and she hid herself and she pretended she was a harlot. And long story short, Judah went into her and they had a son, Perez, and he was in succession to the messianic line. And so it was a scandalous thing, this daughter-in-law and with this harlotry and all this crazy stuff. You can read about that in the book of Genesis. Next up is Rahab, and in the book of Joshua, we meet Rahab, who is also the mother. Basically, she's the grandmother. Let's see, what would that be? The great-grandmother of Jesus. Rahab was a prostitute, and she was the one who was in Jericho, and when the spies came in there to check it out before they were going to come and destroy it, she had understood this and she hid the spies, and in return they promised to spare her and her father's house. Well, she ended up going along with Israel and became one of them. She ends up marrying this guy named Salmon. So they have Boaz. Well, anyway, so that's her. Then we go to Ruth, and you've remembered the story of Ruth in the book of Ruth. She was a Moabite woman. Now, this was a virtuous woman. She didn't have really any scandalous activity in her life. She was a virtuous woman. But nevertheless, she was a Moabite. And that was, she basically had converted to Judaism. But being a Moabite, and she is included, Moabites were not considered to be part of the Jews' affairs. And they were, you know, but she was accepted in faith. Fourthly, now we have the wife of Uriah. This is Bathsheba. And this is the one who David had an affair with and then ended up killing her husband, Uriah. Now, interesting, it gives her, she was the mother of Solomon, and it gives her event there, but doesn't call her by name. It's almost like she doesn't get that respect, because Uriah should be the one remembered. He was murdered, and he was innocent, and the wife of Uriah, so she doesn't even get her name in there, but that's who that was with Bathsheba, and you can read that story as well if you'd like to. Most of you probably already read these stories. All right, so down the list here, we got one more. I highlighted David the king begot Solomon because that's the key there. That was through the line of Solomon, the kingly royal throne. Now, in verse 11 there, Josiah begot Jeconiah. Now, Jeconiah is the one who had the curse on him. And we'll, like I said, we'll get into more of that in the next section there when we do the virgin birth. So, basically, we're just kind of skimming over. I'm not going to read every person's name there, and I'd probably butcher it and wouldn't pronounce them right. There's some names in there that are familiar in other parts of the Bible. Jerubbaal. He is mentioned, I think, in some of the minor prophets there. He was a governor or something like that. Some of these overlap. A lot of times there's names of people that are, there's more than one person called Joseph. There's more than one person called Jacob, that sort of thing. And so it's interesting if you listen to the Bible on video or audio and listen to the person that reads these genealogies and pronounces the names, they must have really researched it in that. But they do a really good job. Okay, and Luke now, we're going to go to Luke. He doesn't get into his explaining of the genealogy till chapter 3. Chapter 1, of course, he's dealing with the birth of John the Baptist and all the events that took place there. And in chapter 2, he talks about the birth of Christ. And in 3, he moves on to John the Baptist, his ministry. But he gives this as a proof of the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. He starts with a man named Heli, and that's Mary's father. And so that goes back to David through his son Nathan. So Jesus not only has the royal line through the adoption of Joseph there back to King David through Solomon, he also has the bloodline, the humanity line, going back to King David through another son, Nathan. And so Luke now, he also does something unique. He goes all the way back to Adam and then even mentions that Adam is the son of God because God created Adam in the beginning, the first man. Now, this was to prove the bloodline and that Jesus in his humanity would qualify for Messiah. The word son is not in the original language. So this could mean a son or grandson. So we see this. It's not another complete list. So it can get a little confusing because sometimes they'll overlap and you're wondering why it seems like there's a contradiction. And one might be talking about the son and one might be talking about the grandson. If you compare the genealogies of Luke and Matthew and line them up. But we see this sort of thing in the narrative of Daniel. Belteshazzar was actually, he's called the son of Nebuchadnezzar, but in actuality he was the grandson. So this was sort of a common thing in the old world. Now, if we look at Luke's version of the genealogies, and it says Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, because they thought he was illegitimate. They had no understanding of the virgin birth, and his enemies thought he was they'd call him a bastard child, an illegitimate child. And in the law, there was no illegitimate child that could be allowed in the temple. It had all kinds of laws like that. But Jesus, he was not born illegitimately. He was born of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he starts off with Heli, and it gets a little confusing because it is Mary's line, and it goes to King David through Nathan. And so I highlighted, so there's some names again. Jerubbaal, Shealtiel, some of these names. We got Nathan, the son of David. So going back to David, now he keeps going and goes back. And of course, it's through Abraham. And then he keeps going, though, and goes back. So he starts with Jesus, goes back all the way back to Adam and says that the son of Adam, the son of God, where Matthew starts with Abraham and goes forward to Jesus. So those are the similarities and the differences. Excuse me. So the summary I have for the podcast, it's going to be written in the notes there. I wanted to show you this other little chart I had made. Birth of Christ chronologically, or the story, I should say, in Matthew, and I compared Matthew and Luke. So again, when they have the genealogies, Matthew, it's Christ through Solomon. Luke, it's Christ through Nathan. Both go to King David. They were both his sons. Matthew focuses on Joseph, and Luke focuses on Mary. The angel appears to Joseph in a dream. The birth announcement by the angel came to Mary. So those are very similar. Jesus born in Bethlehem, and then in Luke, Jesus born in Bethlehem in greater detail. The Magi, or wise men, follow the star from the east. That's included in Matthew's gospel. The angels announce the birth to the shepherds in the field. So those are two events that are covered each by those individual authors. Of course, the Magi present gifts to the child Jesus. Jesus brought to the temple in Jerusalem. So that's they're not both covered in the same gospel. Those are differences there. The flight to Egypt and child massacre in Bethlehem, and Joseph and Mary settling in Galilee. So those are almost the headings I use for the following future shows, if you will, episodes in the series, the Christmas series here of 2021. So anyway, there's that. I'll reduce that back down. And that about wraps it up. My friends, like I mentioned, it's there's a lot to listen to. If you want to listen to audio and videos on this subject, you can search it. Sometimes it's good to find somebody that's not so popular, like the usual guys out there, like the John MacArthurs or R.C. Sproul, or you know, you got all kinds of scholarly people on both, you know, in the conservative camps and maybe more the charismatic camps. And it's good to listen to all kinds of different ones, and you'll gain some understanding out of each one. Usually they'll bring up a point the other person didn't think of. So I think the Proverbs, it says that there's safety in many counselors. And if you take that and put it into an application for Bible study, it's good to have several sources so that we kind of watch over each other, if you will, so we're not going to end up in error. Well, anyway, that covers it, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this, and thank you, and you have a blessed time now. God bless. Bye-bye.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.